All right, one cup at a time. It is 17 minutes after the hour of 7. A very good evening, listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Miraya's Chai Talk episode of the Community Conversation Program. Wana Sata Mujtama, your trusted platform for discussing real issues affecting our community. Today is April 24th, 2026, and today we are discussing one of the most critical pillars of South Sudan's oil, resources for all. But who benefits and where does it go? This is the question that we'll find out. I am Viola Elias.
Yes, and my name is Moyo Jacob Felix. And across the world, oil markets are influenced by a complex mix of supply, demand, and also political factors. Major producers like Saudi Arabia, United States, and Russia play a central role in determining global prices. Now, the oil prices can fluctuate due to wars, sanctions, and also economic shifts. For example, conflicts or sanctions involving major producers can disrupt supply chains almost overnight. And so it is most important to understand that at the same time, oil consumption is a key contributor to carbon emissions, making it a central issue in global climate debate.
That's right, Jacob. For South Sudan, oil is not just one sector of the economy. It is the lifeline of the state. Since gaining independence in 2011 from Sudan, the country has relied almost entirely on oil to pay salaries and to fund basic services. Oil accounts for roughly 90% of government revenue. So who gains from the oil? This is the question that all Junubin are asking. Well, in theory, revenues should benefit all South Sudanese by funding salaries for civil servants, healthcare and education, roads and basic infrastructure, and security and public services. However, in benefits have been concentrated at the top. Despite the economics, the country oil's wealth, South Sudan has struggled to diversify its economy. Agriculture, which employs most of the population, remains underdeveloped. As a result, the country imports many basic goods. Economic growth is uneven and fragile, and even poverty remains widespread. This heavily reliance on a single resources leaves the country highly vulnerable to global shocks and significantly limits the long-term sustainable development. So today, to help us understand this discussion very well, we are glad to be joined by one of the oil experts here in the studio, Agok Mariak, an expert in oil revenue and management, here with us in the studio. Agok, good evening.
Hello, Viola. Thanks for having me here.
All right. Welcome to Chai Talk of the Community Conversation Show on 101 Radio Miraya.
Thank you.
Right.
Yes, and Agok, we get to understand that, South Sudan is heavily dependent on oil in most cases, but can you explain where exactly the country's oil comes from? Want to understand actually the whole dynamics. I mean, where is oil of South Sudan coming from? I'm talking about where is it being produced? What happens after the production here? The country does not refine the oil here. It moves away. So it's that process we also want to understand until it becomes a revenue for the country.
Right. In a very simple term, so that our local communities can really understand, because many people have the concept of South Sudanese have oil, but they do not know how the process is and where the oil comes from.
Thank you, Jacob and Viola. First of all, we need to get to define what oil is exactly. And we've been talking about oil, but what is this oil exactly? Oil are the remnants of tiny plants and animals that have lived for millions of years. And because of the heat and pressure as they sink underground, that gets turned into what we call oil, the crude oil. And so the idea of South Sudan oil, which in the introduction, you well said it. It goes beyond 2011. Its oil was first discovered in 1970, in the then 70s, in the then Sudan. And then for South Sudan, we are looking at 2011. And so, to the question, where is oil produced in South Sudan? Where are these areas? We have Unity State, in which in a place called Tharjat, we have an oil field there. In Ruweng administrative area, we have oil fields there. And then in Upper Nile State, particularly in the northern part of Upper Nile, we have oil in Melud, in Paloj, and there are wells there. And so basically, in simple terms, our oil comes from Upper Nile, the greater Upper Nile region.
Yeah, is it that other states have no, I mean, available oil?
No, there are potentials
of availability.
Still, Upper Nile in Bor, a French company in 2011 was charged with the responsibility to explore and see the feasibility of oil there. So there's a potential of oil, B2. That runs from Jonglei to Eastern Equatorial Belt. Total as well was charged with the responsibility to
explore,
check to explore in lakes, and there are potentials of oil in Rumbek East. And so it's not just Upper Nile.
So most of the areas have got potentials of oil.
Potentially.
All right. Thank you so much. After the production here, it's produced. What happens? I understand we don't have refinery within the country to refine our produce. And then, meaning oil has to go through a refinery process in another place, in another country.
Yes.
So maybe you can take us through.
Yes, so the South Sudan oil, it's true. When we got our independence, or even before the independence, the discovery of oil in the 70s, the pipeline was constructed by Sudan and through Sudan. And so basically South Sudan oil goes through
Sudan,
Port Sudan, in two ways. So the oil that is produced in Unity State and Ruweng goes through Idlich, Panthaw. So Idlich is a colonial name. The right name is Panthaw. And so from Panthaw it goes to Port Sudan. It's about 1,400 kilometers.
Yeah, that's very far.
A pipeline to go there. And then the other route is through Paloj, which is about 1,500, 700 kilometers.
Long.
It's long. And then it goes to Port Sudan. From Port Sudan, it goes to Red Sea through the Strait of what we call the Bab el Mandeb. So it's a strait. It's like the Strait of Hormuz. And then it goes into the oil market, particularly in Asia, India, and China.
So that's where the South Sudan's oil is being sold.
That's where the mainly South Sudan oil is being sold. But again, the notion of pre-sales came in, and so the Qataris and some of the Gulf countries also. Are beneficiaries from the South Sudan oil.
These buyers, they come to Sudan where the oil is refined, or South Sudan has to take its own oil from Sudan to Asia?
They are agents, and knowing very well the South Sudan oil is explored and produced by the oil companies. They are called joint oil
companies.
Operating companies. And these companies are mainly of China, the Chinese Petroleum National Oil Company, which is a major shareholder in most of these operating companies, such as Dar Petroleum and GPOC, a greater pioneering oil company. And then you have the Petronas, which was run by Malaysians, but of late, since last year, they are pulled out. But their shares are still in the market. So these companies helped in selling
The oil.
Of course, with the support of South Sudan responsible concern institutions such as NILPET. NILPET, which is the national oil company. So it's the contribution of South Sudan in the production of oil.
Right. You just mentioned to us some of the companies that are really dealing with the oil in South Sudan. Maybe looking at which country is actually the largest buyer?
It's China.
It's China.
China has, because of their national oil company, presence and the largest share they have, China leads, followed by India.
These companies helping the production of the oil. Why must they be agents as well in terms of the sale of this oil to the international market?
Well, it's they are businesses. They are businesses. When they are here, they are operating as profit-making
institutions.
Of course, it's not them as such selling in the international market. If you go to the Ministry of Petroleum, there is a marketing department that engages in this. And of course, the government would have a representative throughout, from the point of sale to when the money comes eventually to the treasury. So it's not just these these companies, but because of the nature of investment, that it's overseen by them as well. But more importantly, the Ministry of Petroleum has representatives there.
Right. Before we dwelled into the issues of how conflict has affected the production of oil in the region, let us look along. We understand that oil accounts for most of the government revenue. We just need to know, how is this money typically used? Because people understand we have oil, South Sudanese have oil, but there is a lot of things that should be done with that money, but significantly, citizens are complaining. Maybe you can take us through, how is this revenue being split out?
Good. Thank you, Viola. That's a very good question. Perhaps we need to get to know what is this, what comprises this, what we call revenue, the oil revenue.
Yes.
The revenues comprises what we, first, as I said earlier, there are joint operating companies that have come to invest in South Sudan oil. And so they commit the resources in order to produce, to have oil, to produce it is a very expensive venture. And so these companies commit to the cost, and there's money related to that. And then as they come into the country, agreements are made. And the process in the agreements, in one of the agreements, is what we call Exploration Production Sharing Agreement, EPSA. So once the companies sign agreements, the revenue, they pay royalties, they pay bonuses, the signature bonuses, and that accrues to revenue. And now, I talked about the cost that they commit in the production. And so once the production is done, the oil is sold, the cost that they committed is deducted. What remains becomes profit. Now, that profit now is divided into what goes to South Sudan and what goes to these companies. Now, what goes to South Sudan is what we call our revenue. So it's not the revenue from these companies. And so that money, once it's remitted from petroleum to the Ministry of Finance and to the Bank of South Sudan, the allocation mechanisms are there. And before you even get to the allocations, the law, the Petroleum Revenue Management Act talks about 5% to the producing states and communities, 3 to the states and 2 to the producing communities. That being deducted, it remains now the net that government now sits and say, as per the law, the Petroleum Revenue Management Act, 75% of that, what has been left, goes to consolidated fund, consolidated account. Now, what that means is that the consolidated account is what the government budgets on through the physical year. And our physical year is normally 1st July.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that money gets spent through the budget processes, the physical year. Now, 75%, remaining 25%. 25%, 15% goes to stabilization account. Now, the stabilization account is it's an account that cushions the country against, because the oil being so volatile, being so uncertain, so the law provides that some of this money that goes to the government needs to be kept in case
of fluctuation,
like what, fluctuation or uncertainties, like what is happening in
Sudan,
in Sudan, the war, or what is happening in the Middle East. So that money is used
to be able to cover.
And it doesn't just sit there. We'll come to that. How is that money kept? And then there is a 10% that goes to future generations fund.
What is future generation fund?
So a future generation fund, it's done. It's a concept that has been borrowed from the best practices. That as nations, we have responsibilities not just for the current generation, but the future generation. There is a certain amount, because oil, as I said earlier, is a natural resource.
Yes.
It is what is produced, and it's limited. It's non-renewable.
It's not renewable.
If it's exhausted, then we are disadvantaging the next generation. Mm-hmm. And so the idea, some portion of this money must be kept in order, in the interest of the future.
Is it anywhere
generation.
There? No.
So, I know you'll ask me the next question, is that money there?
I've just asked.
Okay. It's a very difficult question, but the law says otherwise.
It should be there.
That should be there. Mm. And how it really happens is that the 25%, 15% and 10% needs to be invested through the guidance of the Bank of South Sudan. There should be a resource manager appointed by the Bank of South Sudan to manage that money, to even invest in overseas, so that, you know, the value, the time value of money, the money does not just sit. The money today is more expensive than money tomorrow. And so the idea that money should not just sit, it must be invested. So if we are talking of the future generation, this money must be invested, so that if that future generation comes, the money will be valuable in that time.
Maybe also you can, you know, talking about the 5% and split into this 2% and then 3% to the communities. Are really the communities benefiting from that? Are they getting the percentage that has been allocated to them?
In the I think 2 years ago, the Council of States. The Council of States is the upper house in South Sudan, because we have a bicameral system. They triggered the audit of the allocation and the flows of the 3% and 2% respectively, to know exactly where is the money going, because in their view, there are no tangible results on the ground. Children are being born with
deformities
and all that. Communities are suffering. Animals are dying because of the waste and all that.
Also reports of environmental pollutions.
Are happening. And so that audit through Auditors General, the chamber, was done. And in the report, they reported irregularities in the disbursement of this
percentage.
And so it's not all going, but there have been reports very in a irregular manner that the communities are benefiting. And so at the community level, the state level, the community level particularly, they form what they call the CDCs, the Community Development Committees, that manage this that are supposed to manage this. And so when that money goes, it's not just producing communities. Say in Ruweng, they have six counties, and perhaps there are only two counties producing this oil. So what normally happens is that there's a portion that would go to the producing communities, but as well, they have to have a portion that goes to the other communities.
From the same 2%?
From the same 2%. So it goes down, it gets smaller and smaller.
Smaller, yeah.
But the end result is the question whether whoever is supposed to get it, are they getting it regularly or irregularly? And as the audit has suggested, there is irregular disbursement. And most of the time, the differentials, it comes in dollars, and oftentimes it gets converted
into
pounds.
SSP. Mm-hmm.
And you know the fluctuation, the volatility of our pound. By the time it gets there, the money is not really impactful in many ways.
All right. Thank you so much. We should be getting to our audience in a short while. But before that, we really would want to understand why the oil is not being refined yet. It has to go through a lot of process. And by the way, is Sudan also not chopping part of the money that comes from the oil as the pipes move through Sudan for refinery? As a matter of fact, it's being refined in Sudan.
That is a very difficult question from my expert's point of view, because we have representatives of South Sudan at the oil fields, and it's being monitored. Even in Port Sudan, we have the representatives. So it's unlikely, unless by other means that we don't know, that the Sudan is stealing oil, but the South Sudanese are there.
Not really stealing oil. I mean, having a share of the money from the oil.
Yes, when South Sudan gained independence in 2011, there were arrangements that were made because Sudan was losing the oil. You know, before independence, Sudan as a country, as a whole, had potentials of oil, about 5 billion barrels of oil in reserves. And so when South Sudan gained independence, 75% of that came to the south.
South Sudan,
fell
yeah.
in the South Sudan geographical land location. So about 3.5 billion. And so and so there was a case that was made that would South Sudan would need to compensate Sudan through what they call transitional financial arrangement, to give a certain amount, which was negotiated. I think it was at that time, if my memory does me a favor, at that time it was, I think, about $32 per a barrel. And most of it, and when the oil goes down, South Sudan would definitely lose because of that arrangement. And then there is also money that goes through pipeline.
Yes.
Because we are hiring pipeline, you pay the fees. So South Sudan gets a chunk, but it's through official negotiated
arrangements.
All
right. What would have happened if we, as a country, have gotten our oil refinery?
Refinery and pipeline are two different things. So, of course, refinery is the next level, is the downstream. And what that means is, instead of selling the crude, you are refining
in,
and you have the byproducts and all that, such as diesel, paraffin, and all that. And even the tar, the one that we use for making tarmac. Perhaps having a refinery within would have more benefits than selling just crude oil.
I think Shukranle, this information that you are providing to the public today. Maybe just before we open our lines to our callers to call in and also share their views with us or contribute to the program, with the global shift towards, you know, renewable energy, what does the future look for South Sudan in regards to oil?
Exactly. That's a very good question. And South Sudan, as a country, is committed to what they call NDC, the Nationally Determined Contribution. That the Paris Agreement, that the countries are moving away from use of fossil fuel, from the because of the climate change, the carbon dioxide and all that, to efficient use sources of
clean energy,
energy, such as solar, such as hydropower, and all that.
Yeah.
Now the global powers are leading in that. For example, last year I attended a conference that was in Entebbe that was organized by the Norwegian offshore department to look into the idea of transition from the use of fossil fuel to cleaner energy. And for them, they are very aggressive about it. And they are even talking of carbon capture and storage, which at the level of South Sudan, that is beyond imagination. But South Sudan is already committed, and that commitment must be realized, because if in the next 5-10 years, Norway has already scaled down producing oil, because they have a lot of oil and a lot of money that they have gotten from oil, and it's invested, so they don't need oil anyway. And now they are focusing more on efficient sources of energy, and other countries are leading. And what that means is that if South Sudan does not diversify the resources, the oil resources, it means our assets will be left stranded. The Chinese and these companies, these countries that are investing now, may shy away because the crude oil, the fossil fuel, would have no market. So we will be left with a resource that is not valuable. And so we'll have the repercussions of climate change. And so we need to keep up with the world.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ago, for this clear elaboration on the South Sudan's oil sector particularly. And up to this point in time, quarter to the top of the hour, you can be able to reach out to us right away through our studio lines and become part of this edition of the Community Conversations. 0912-067-879 0912-067-929 0120-681-01 remains our studio line. 0121-77-141 remains for the SMS. Be able to call us and become part of the conversations.
Radio Miraya.
Yola Elias.
Yes.
Evening.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, Thomas K calling from Yangon.
Yes, Thomas K, you're welcome to Chai Talk segment of the Community Conversation.
Thank you very much. I have only two questions to the guest. Viola Elias, as I am talking to you, I have a motorbike inside. My motorbike have taken something like 1 month or 3 months because of fuel. The price of fuel in Yangon is very high. My question is, what really benefits on that oil? Because I doesn't eat any single one pan of that oil. Even my grandfather, he died. He doesn't eat any single money from that oil. That is my first question.
All right. What is your second question, Thomas K?
My second question is, why can't they buy the machine of oil and bring it to Juba? Then the oil will produced from the Juba, then it will supply the 10 country people, the Indian and sell it in Juba. They are people of other
countries. All right. Your question is captured, Thomas K.
All right, let's go for more. Radio Mraya.
Hello?
Yes.
Good evening to you, and good evening to your friend, and our visitors.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. Scopus.
Yes, it is Scopus.
Yes.
All right. انا دير نتكلم حاجه في السيد ودير نودي ملاحظه اول حاجه.
نعم.
الحلقة اللي فات أنا سألت سؤالين. قام يستخدموا اسمي في سؤال بتزول تاني. I want you to be very serious to follow up who say and say what. Okay?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Please.
Let us go for our topic.
Yes.
التعريف أنا ده نقول حاجة وادي.
نعم.
لأنه نميري سما قربانوير الكبرى قال ولاية الوحدة لأنه دارف بلد فيها بترول وقال بعد ده كل شعوب السودانية وكل بلد واحد يجي توحد وينا في محل الغنيان ده هي اللي راحل نميري. بترول ده وكل فتاو عمر بشير يفات البترول بتاع الحجليج ده وكفات البترول بتاع الحجليج ده ياو حصل زي ما حصل وماسورة كرتوس واحد لبرسوران زي ما قال لديتنا في داكليستيديو مثل برسوران والتاني تم في الجيل هي استفاو هنا وستاني يعمل فيه فوق على كده يعني سودان بيشيلوا الدريبة وبيشيلوا الجمارك وبيشيلوا إيجار الأنبوب بتاعته لأنه يستفاو كان بشركة سينية ليه ناس البلد يتقسم والبترول بترولنا لأننا نلقى مشكلة عشان بترولنا يقدر يصطفوه إما إذا كان بيصطفوه وين أنا ده نقول حاجة واحد الليلة لو جبنا السنين قال يفتلينا بترولنا ده عمل لنا نظام بتاع المداكات هناك في الحجليج هناك بس يصطفوه قبله أنا متأكد إن إيس أفريكا إنما بنجيب بترول ده أنا متأكد فوقه بترولنا مجوّد لكن نتيجة إنه لنا درنا ندرك إصابات أفراد من هنا لمكينيا في مومباسا ودرينا مولو شنو حاجة اللي عمل نظام بتاع مدار سنين ده لو تقدر أي حاجة مستحيل سنين ما عنده حاجة مستحيل بنا كده وقروش بشير كان وكان عمل حاجة ده بالدين كويس سنين عمره وبعد سنين استقل بالدين وياد أفراد أبوك ده من هنا لحد برسوران فحاجة ده كله دير فكرة ودير نظام الناس غير نتا في بترول يعني الليتر ب 12 ألف 13 ألف وما ذلك لكن نتيجة إنك أصلانين مين أصلانين أنا ده ننسي في السؤال بتاعتي على أكير
نعم فضل طوالي
يا سيد وصاصة ديفنا في استوديو معروف البترول في العالم بعد أموبو شنو محروقات بعد أموبو كتاب سيحي بعد أموبو كلا أساسية أمثال أموات التمونية عشان يكون ركيز عدوى يكون ركيز ويكون مدوم زي السودان قاعد يستخدمه شوف بترول من الجنوب لكن السودان بيستخدمه هنا شنو يعني بتقدم به حاجات وبعدها تسعصار مكافة رأسية في السوق ما بالك هسه ليه البترول بيجا حقنا لأننا ما بنستفيد من البلد دي السودان ده جنوب السودان لأننا نسير كبرى بتاع أمنا بلدنا ده نستخدمه هنا عشان الأمور تمشي هسه الليلة بترول في بلدنا أسعار مولي فوق وإن ذات ما بنعرف قروش ماشي وين وجاي من وين دملنا سيلة الأساسية بس نار ذاك يا أخوانا قروشنا ده بترولنا ده ماشي في واحد 2 3 4 5
نعم
والكلام ده قال
خلاص كويس
شكرا إسكوباس لمشاركة بتاعك لا بيتا لسه عندك فرصة فضل لنا 10 دقيقة لساعة 8 كده نشيل المكالمة ثاني رجع مرايا
يلا إليا
يس
جود إيفنينج
جود إيفنينج تو يو يور نيم أند وير يو كولينج فروم
This is Evening Fastino from Ezo County.
Yes, Fastino, you're welcome.
Yes. I'm having one or two questions, I guess.
Go ahead, please, Fastino.
Yes. So my question is, so you talked about the oil, which is has been exported to China and some other countries. So, and they said that when they export the oil, so the money will pay the money, and the money will be paid to the Ministry of Finance and to the finance, to the bank account of South Sudan. And then, as they have been paying the money, why is it that every servant are not paid? So that is the number one question. To the guest, why is it that civil servant, the organized forces, those of LC, teachers, and other people, why are they not?
All right, that's one question.
Go to the next question, please.
So that is the question, only one.
All right, thank you for your contribution. Let's pick another caller. Regio Miraya?
I'm Biola.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Your name and where are you calling from?
You are connected to Aguer Francis in a way.
Aguer, you're welcome.
Thank you. I've been one question in my mind since then.
Yes.
Why I've heard from the many people talking about oil, but what they focus on is the pipeline. When the pipeline was damaged and conflict was ongoing in Khartoum, people were crying that they should allow our oil to flow to the global market in the Asia. So I'm asking, is South Sudan having its own refinery, something that South Sudan cannot afford, or what does it take for South Sudan to have its own refinery within the country here?
All right, shukran leswal bitak na shilu mukalama tani radio miraya.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. تمام؟
نعم تمام. فضل كيف؟ معنا منو داري من وين؟
وأنا معكم بشير إبراهيم في ينجو.
نعم بشير فضل طوالي.
شكرا جزيلا. لو أنا جبت البرنامج بتاع الجنوب بتاعنا ذاته عشان أعرف التعشير اللي بتاعنا ده ماشي وينه وبياكل وين.
نعم.
أنا كان داير نعرف لأنه هو فشلت حاجات كويس. الحاجات كله فشلت ده يعني في الدورة البترول. بديت على فوق قد يمشي فوق ده بين الاثنين ده ياتو يا اوروبا وياتو يا مارابا جو قاعد يشوف يعني ياتو قاعد يستفيد ياتو ما قاعد يستفيد
نعم
لانه انا اساسا حاجه على هندو يعني ممكن محل فوق يعني مسجن المسجن ده لازم مسجن ده بيكون قليل يكون اكثر من باقي محلاتي حاجات ده قاعد يمشي فوق لكن المسجن بتاعنا ده يو قاعدين في جنوبي ده لكن بلدنا ده لسه ورا ليه قاعد يعمل نفسه كده
شكرا لك بشير لمجاربك
ذاك ادي مرايا مرايا رايا ادي مرايا
يا جود ايفنينج
جود ايفنينج
يا يو ار توكينج تو جيمس مايكل فروم سيفت
يا جيمس
يا جيمس اي هاف وان كويشن
يس
ان 2011 they came up here.
James.
They need to change the line of
what line? Your network is unstable. I will advise that you call us again, maybe on the second half of this show. Maybe we'll pick only one more caller, then we shift to the news. Rudy Mraya.
Hello?
Yes.
Marhabek, Mama Mariata Miraya.
Mama Mariata, Fadal Tawali Miraja.
مساكم الخير
وايت كمان
خير الحمد لله
نعم فضل طوالي
انا درنا نسأل سؤال واحد بس.
نعم
يعني حسي في جنوب السودان نحن يا ناس السيادة نحن ما مخزن يعني شوكو اللي جاء من ارض بيتانا يا وماشي وحسى في بلد بيتانا اكل ما في مستشفى ما في ومدرسة بيتانا كل تعبان ووذي بيتانا في جنوب السودان كاب وإلى السلاح يا أوقاب يكون كثير دي حال قروش بيتانا دي قاب أمشي لأسلية ولا قروش تانا قاب أمشي لأنه أودانا ما بساي شكرا جزيلا
شكرا لو شارك بيتاكا ماما مرياتا رجو مرايا
رجو مرايا
نعم حاول 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 ميزو بعيد من راديو بيتاك
راديو مرايا
نعم yes.
مرايا مرايا
Yeah, let's take our last caller, Rudy Mraya.
Oh, Rudy Mraya.
Yes.
Yes, Rudy Mraya.
Naam, Misah al-Khair.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening to you. Your name and where are you calling from?
Santino Chorgua from Trees County.
Yes, Santino.
Santino, go ahead, please. We are behind schedule now.
Yes, you are talking about the South Sudan economy.
Right. Santino, I would advise that maybe join the conversation in a short while and then understand how, what we're talking about, not just economy, we're focusing so much on oil. We want to let the people understand where our oil is being produced, how the oil is being produced, how it is being transported outside until the market.
And how is it even being managed?
Yes, and that is actually
and
our focus.
And who is benefiting from the oil?
Exactly. Keep the conversations going, and we will be right back here after the news in Arabic at 8 p.m. And please do not forget to send us a text message on 011-2177-141. Good evening.
All right. Indeed, one cup at a time. It is 19 minutes after the hour of 8, and welcome back. Just to remind you, we are discussing one of the most critical pillars of South Sudan economy, oil, and we are asking one big question: where does this oil come from? How is it managed? And who really benefits from it? And we are privileged to be joined by an expert in oil revenue here with us in the studio. Agok, you're welcome in the second half of the program.
Thank you, Viola.
Right.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Let's look at a few concerns that emerge from those who actually call in during the program. Thomas K. from Yambio, who are the beneficiaries of the South Sudan's oil that until even his grandfather died, he has never seen or benefited at all from the oil revenues. And why can they refine here in the country in order to ease this whole process and ease everything, actually, as a matter of fact? Yes, let's go bit by bit. I'll go.
Thank you, Jacob. Those are very important questions. And the idea on refinery is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I think one refinery in Unity State, in Tharjas, has been tried. It's constructed, but is not fully operational. But once it's realized, then it will definitely ease the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That the what gets imported will have our own production, refined oil. And so the cost would be reduced because it's locally refined.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a work in progress. And of course, who benefits? It's another question, and it's a $1 million question in so many ways. The South Sudanese are benefiting, but the next question would be, how many South Sudanese?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's an issue of, in post-conflict situation. Its institutions are always weak, and because of our weak institutions, it's difficult to keep track of resources, of revenue.
Mm.
And so the issue of accountability, transparency and accountability becomes very important.
Mm.
And until we get the institutions right,
mm-hmm.
so that we keep track of the national coffers.
Mm. As we move forward with more of these questions, I just want to ask something. He's asking he has never benefited from this. Can you maybe elaborate to the people on how they are people might be benefiting actually from the oil revenues, but they may not know how.
Of course, it's true. If you, as we said before, South Sudan depends 80-90% on the oil proceeds. And if you look at the government budget, for example, in Yambia, there is a running government.
Mm.
There is a budget that goes to that government. They open roads, community access roads. They are digging boreholes. There are some schools that are operational. There are government offices. There are people working in the government, even if the salary is delaying, eventually they get those salaries. That salary comes from oil. That community access road that has been constructed in the Maram, let's say from Anzara to Iba to Maridi to Mundri to Mbolo to Rumbek, that is our oil money.
And people are benefiting.
In a very crude manner.
People are benefiting.
So
maybe
people
want to see money coming to their pockets, and then that's when they will need to understand that they are benefiting
from
the oil.
In some countries, they have welfare system, where those who are vulnerable, those who cannot work, those who are studying, would have certain amount of money that is given to them on a fortnightly or monthly basis.
Mm.
That is not the case in South Sudan. You can only see it through services. And of course, if you really want it to get to your pocket, perhaps you work for the government.
All right. Escopas was asking, the country would have done so much to avoid All right, importation of fuel from the neighboring countries. I mean, this has been actually cleared. Faustino, why is civil servant not paid if at all the money is there, if at all the money is reflected in the budget, let us say it that way?
It's an issue of weak institutions that I spoke about. Institutions are weak, and so because of that factor, people take advantage. The people who are manning those institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there is a leakage.
Mm.
A friend of mine calls it a leaking basket. But the basket would leak anyway. Mm. But there's a leakage. but I'm not an expert in money trail following where this leakage is.
Mm.
But we see definitely there is a leakage.
Mm.
And so, and to seal and to close that leakage, we must look at the institutions.
Mm.
The accountable institutions, the anti-corruption commission, the justice sectors, the chambers, the auditors general chamber, and these institutions are completely down. We can only keep trail of resources and the national coffers if these accountable institutions are empowered.
All right. Just to wind up this session from the callers, somebody asked, just like in terms of the refinery, that is it that the country cannot afford to construct or to build its own refinery, even not just a small one, or trying from here and there, in order to avoid this transportation of oil or getting oil to be refined in another country? That country is also taking percentage of the oil revenues, and what comes in the country becomes a little bit less than what it produces. Why not have a full refinery? Yes. Is it that the country cannot afford?
More to do with a will, the leadership will.
Oh, is it that expensive?
It's not so expensive. It's expensive. It requires know-how. It requires infrastructure and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the big elephant in the room is the fact that a focus must be given to that.
Mm-hmm.
And someone has to do the thinking. And you know, take away the revenue that comes from oil. South Sudan, as a sovereign country, can have sovereign guarantees, can attract investors to come and invest in the refinery, the downstream. That is doable. However, there is a caveat. As we said, the areas where oil is being produced are the most unstable in terms of conflict areas. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that could be even a factor, because having a refinery, what if it's blown
anything
up
happens
by
the worst,
these opposition
the worst
groups? What, yeah. So it could be a factor.
All right, let's keep it there now. Let's give more chance to listeners.
Now, it's a lot of fatata radio bitaka italita gatesma le shy talk for community conversation show. Wala wana sata muchama. Italisa bagdir sharik manna fargambe tana sefer tiza wahed nen sefer sita sabata mania sabatiza. Radio Miraya.
Hello.
Yes, Radio Miraya, good evening.
Evening to you, my sister.
Yes, your name and where are you calling from?
This is Karabino Majuk. I'm calling from Romage, Tonyis, Warabe State.
Garbino, you're welcome.
The topic is very enjoyable. I want to ask the brother who is in the studio. So, can he explain to the public that what is the cause of the dilemma of the salaries of the civil servants?
Can we focus on oil particularly? When we talk about the finances here, that's one thing we should actually be able to get so well, so that we get a focus on one particular item altogether. I would advise that you listen to us, and you'll be able to ask us in a short while. Thank you so much.
Radio Miraya.
Yes,
good evening.
Misaha
Nur.
Moi Jacob.
Yes, Misaha Al Kher.
Misaha Nur.
Inshallah Kweis. Mara Tuali Barnamij. Naam, Atoke.
Naam.
ana salam different than our system. One bar jara shukran asana I position betazol de mohim. Shukran oshil position beto beden ashara o mutamel be shukol betana bo ana bar jara shukran ana bishajao. So ana hindu swallow white base.
Fadan tuale.
Yes. So what is happening with our petrol? We are suffering as a severance. Meanwhile, we have a petrol. What is the problem with our petrol of South Sudan? This is my question.
All right.
Shukran,
thank you so much.
Radio Miraya.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, good evening to you.
It's Ageo Mabok, Ageo from Wau.
Yes, Ageo Fadal Tawali.
We shall chat with Ramatara and our cathedral the topic of discussion. Again, I'm a garden smile. When Motoka said, the mal people are talking about economics, Ram Guruj, Ma Guruj, oil, Ma oil.
Now, Mageo Geni Gerima Radio Bitak, we are talking about oil revenue. We are asking where does it come from and how is it managed and who really benefits from the oil. Radio Miraya.
Hi, Miss Alker.
Miss Ahanur.
Okay, I'm going to my Rizik Minjuba.
Naam, Rizik Minjuba. Fadal tawali Rizik.
Ay, naam, lakin ana ma bitafik fi mushkil al-deb gul the institution are weak. Actually, in South Sudan, we don't have a system. And it seems like we are just exercising to be a government. Because I can remember South Sudan had an audit since 2011 up to now. Imagine, how can you run? It means that there is no system. And you see this money, everyone is just taking. It is just, there is no system. Let's try at least to install some system so that at least it can control the money.
All right. Yeah.
If you are trying also to exercise at least a government, yeah, maybe we try. Because the more we make exercise, the more we become perfect. There is no system. It is not just because of the poor institution. No system in the, in this country.
Thank you so much, Rizik, for your question or contribution. Radio
Miraya.
Viola.
Yes.
Evening.
Good evening to you.
David Mungo from Wau.
Yes, David, you're welcome.
I have some few questions, the girls in the studio.
Go ahead.
Number one, is this oil for the politician or for the citizen, or is it for all of us? If it is for all of us, why is it being consumed by only one team? That is political parties. Number two, why is it hard for you to make local refinery? Because there is a country which have oil, should not have expensive business of the oil. It's supposed to be very cheap. But now in South Sudan, we have oil, and the oil is very expensive. Why is it so like that? Lastly, those who have studied geology and mining as South Sudanese, they are the right people to be trained and work in the Ministry of Petroleum. But you can get people who have now studied education, who are supposed to be in government schools, they are now in petroleum side. Why is it like that? Where is the system here? Lastly, is about the issue of the distribution. Yeah, I am talking about, I mean the weather, the environment. You can see the place with the oil now, that is in Upper Nile, especially in Unity State. There is issue that is affecting the people concerning this oil. Where is the role of the petroleum ministry plus the Ministry of Environment? People must have to be protected. We cannot lose the money, and we are even losing the people. What is the benefit of the people of South Sudan? Thank you so much,
David Magog. And as we pick more calls, we also want to remind you that those who are sending text messages will be able to read your messages in a short while. Please keep them coming. William Raya. Yes.
James
Minwao. Raise up your voice a little bit, James.
Sod bitak baiti ya James hawla drablena maratani. Radio Miraya.
Yes. Yes, so starting from Maridi.
Yes, Levi min Maridi. Levi fadal tawali.
Yes, just brief question. Because I was just for saying that it is the money get from the oil.
Yeah, go to your question. You're not stable in network.
Yes, I'm asking, what percentage, in terms of percentage, 60% of South Sudanese is really benefiting, because I am doubting we are now going for over 2 years without getting any little incentive.
Mm.
2 years.
Mm.
There's no incentive. And he's saying
Your network is breaking, Ustas Levy. Let us get another caller. Radio Miraya.
Miraya?
Ustas Dana Le Haja Wahid, the city, the Gitin.
Demuno?
Scopus.
Peter Scopus now.
Yes,
I cannot agree with our guest inside the studio. That we call Hajat Sahanzara, Algarina Mulu, and the development in Inak, the group with the betrol.
Mm-hmm.
And there are the border with Central Africa. Hal and there are Mafi Darait, Mafi Jamarik, Mafi Shina, Senadam, Hajjad, Mafi Mizania, Albansi Garbazo, Miss Merida, Teresma Langa, Anzara, Mafi Karandere. Al Hajjarana Barif Tamaman Aslan, Filbele Iradat, Al Tasibital Iradat, Yabitarja. الوزارمالية بتجي مراقبات ما حصل حقيقة أنا بتأكد ترى حاجة ملموس كده عشان نقدر نعرف إنه كروز بترول ده ماشي فيه في سال الشاب ما في في الحاجة وعلى جدار أقول سؤالي بديف تاني سؤال زيادة للأستاذ يا أستاذ أنا دار أقول لك إنه كنا نكون ناس واقعيين في الحتة دي حتى كل شيء توصل صورة لكل مستمع بدل من ما يكون أشياء ما حيكون يعني منطقيا للشعب. والسلام عليكم.
شكرا.
Thank you so much, Scopus. And okay, one thing we also want to remind, to interject here is when our guest was talking about Zara roads particularly, he did not mean necessarily Zara. He talked about roads countrywide. Okay, so that was an example. Radio Miraya.
Yes, Radio Miraya.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're talking to Shakir from Juba.
Shakir from Juba, welcome.
Yeah. I just have two questions to the guest. أولا أنا دار أسأل بالنسبة للبترول يعني الناس الموجودين في المنطقة هناك ده هل نازل صار يكون أمراض طبعا سمتان من اسمع إنه في عيال بولد مشوه في أمراض هل حكومة في النسبة قيت لها لنازل لعلاج ولا لا؟
واحد. أوكي.
اثنين خطة بتاع حكومة شنو مستقبليا هل في خطة بتاع مرسى هيكون يخص جنوبين فقط عشان كلام بتاع عزمة يكون ما في ولا لا؟ شكرا جزيلا.
شكرا للمشاركة بتاعك. نشيل مكالمة تاني. رجو مرايا.
Radio Miraya.
Radio Miraya.
Miraya?
Hello, Radio Miraya, yes?
Yes,
good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Joseph Gak, calling from Rumbek.
Yes, Joseph. Sir Joseph.
Yeah, I really appreciate the program. Mm. It's good to make negotiation on different issues, especially in our country. But I am seeing people are supporting the government while the government is doing nothing to the citizens of South Sudan. I heard the guy is talking about the road, even the bar hole. But I have seen a lot of works are done by NGOs, especially here in Rumbek. NGOs, they are digging boreholes. And even we are in lack of road connection. Like here we have a road, it's going direct to Bantiu, but now it's not operating. They are not even putting marab. So where are our services?
Mm.
If it is a services of road, we don't have road connection, especially in South Sudan.
All right.
I move across South Sudan, especially in Tani State, but there's no good road.
All right. Let's get to hear that from him in a short while. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Radio Miraya?
Hello, Radio Miraya.
Naam.
Yeah, de Mama Deborah.
Mama Deborah, marhab tuwale.
Shukran. Salam leita kunkulu kwa kwana betana kulu.
Medina Turitsa?
Yeah, I mean, Naam. Yeah.
Marhab.
Yeah, thank you, my brother. Bananita mom, ana hindu swale viyo betana ti malusidio. Taban bele betana alo South Sudan, tebele mubarak. Asan malian ba jada rabo na kutu, kudea jadna kan besefit kuna behis fogo. Wasa zasa kalamita bitrol, wajet ke tir bita bele tasi. Asa ana mar yud bitomun girwa win. Wasa delo zasa na giru butukulup. Nagikele mbele betana da betala kwez, kwa kuma betana bamu laja kwez lena, wasa de yine maafi aja, ayi zaman bija yomita umba, nefsu maafi tegera. Wasa jia dele, mun bija ala kuna munu, yigonda kutar pat, wasa de jia de bija asari na munu. Kwez asa ze yal, au ze shabab. Shabab asa kaman, mun gati, ma hindu haja kuma, tani magiruwa madal, al bija baden, bija jaba aden junufil. Wasa, lahar miten bele debu sarina miten tani de ya de girwa ta kulkulu zaman albiga kalas kare bele de ajasim ya de girwa ta wale be jan be zuru be haja kulu ina munu be jasu fi baden
hey right
shukrana mama Deborah min torita kana shilo aker mukalama u badda benem shile rasail rejo miraya
miraya
moja ko
yes
yola ilias
yes good evening
Misa Kerko.
Misa Hanur.
Nitu kwezin.
Anna kwezin. Tonj kef, Misa Hatalela.
Tonj kwe, tonj matara kubok, tagil, watabar.
Tonj Mubarak. Sharik mana tuwali.
Ana hali kalamata motor dalela. Sharik mana tuwali barnami.
Okay. Barnami kwe sedidi ya mojako. Mazefi studio. Tare dola butana de, dola blessing. In other country. Wajadal gad pogo, rabuna kalaga jad tet, wajadal po, wajad banjit, wajad bamul, dola day kun kwez. Lo nina vakli machakalado agana de, dola vran mabi dola zeo. 52% of mar fogo, jaz of fogo, mirror. So 2% we are not see. 2% nazal gad vilet. 3% and not got village between the Mavisiana Bamu Nepso, then Nascarva, Nas Madaris, Nas Mafi,
and that's one?
In this world,
the world who's Munkin is well.
So I'm trying to Bamchile, the button of his studio. 2%, Junubamululum, Sadu Nas with a bullet, neighboring Buto. Well, Bamulu Kavian. I'll be talking.
All right. All right. Shukran ya mabior koile, so I'll be talking.
Right. Let us keep it there. We will come to the SMS in a short while. Let's first get over to these few questions. But majority of them are focused on how the oil money is actually being used. Matoke asking about the same issue. Rizik actually called to say he sent a message that we were supposed to read as well, but he's saying, of course, there is no system that he doesn't agree with you that the issue is not about the institutions. It is about the system itself. I mean, would you attest to that one, Ango?
I think it's a question of what we call a system. And institutions. I think we are talking about the same thing. And so when I say weak institutions, because at least we have semblance of institutions. We have ministries. We have various institutions. Now, the next question is, are they effective? This is where I say we have weak institutions. You can say weak system because there is a blockage. There's a leakage somewhere. So I see his point, but I think we are more or less saying the same thing.
All right. David Magoko from WOW, talking about how people benefit from the oil. And yes, why difficult to do refinery to lower the prices of fuel, particularly in the country? Wrong people employed in the petroleum sector. And, of course, the role of institutions in the protection of the civil populations in the areas where the oil is being produced.
I want to pick on the notion of wrong people being employed in the oil sector. The oil sector is a very
diverse,
a very huge sector, and it encompasses all disciplines. It may not be for engineers, geologists, and all that. Even the media people, because if you go to the sale of oil, you need marketers.
Uh-huh.
You need information.
Yes.
Even to manage the website for the ministry, you need people who are
ICT.
The ICT and all that. So it encompasses all the disciplines and career. What perhaps would trigger that, even the teachers, you need people who do civic education.
Yeah.
And community development and all that. You need all that. But now perhaps the point is on the sense that there are technical areas where you put people who are not who do not have expertise in those particular areas. That is would be a topic for another day. But the oil sector is really very diverse.
Yeah, since you have talked about refineries earlier on and where the money goes to, you talk about leakages. Let's talk about the role of the government now in terms of protecting the civilians, particularly those who are living within these oil-producing areas.
The issue of corporate social responsibility is a big one. And if you look at the EPSA, as I spoke about, I've spoken about before, exploration production sharing agreements. A section of the agreement speaks into corporate social responsibility. But again, we still see the pollution and the communities being disadvantaged. And I agree there has to be more to be done in order to protect the surrounding communities, not just in terms of pollution, even those who are displaced, because where the oil is being explored, where it's being mined, the communities are being affected. They are being displaced. The water where the animals, their animals are drinking, the where people are taking water and all that, the water, if it's not protected, the spillage that comes from production goes into the rivers. And if the communities are exposed to them, that is a big problem. So it's a work in progress. It's a serious one. It needs an attention.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Somebody argued that most work actually is done by the NGO, especially when you mentioned about government drilling boreholes to the people. They have not seen the government drilling boreholes, but most of this is done by the NGOs in those particular areas.
Yes. I need to make it clear. I don't work for the government.
Yes.
I'm scientific in this approach. But it's true. What I was trying to say, if you look at the sections of the budget in South Sudan, there are three chapters. You look at the salary part, the operation cost, and the capital. The capital, this is where the services, where the roads are constructed and all that and all that. We've not seen very much NGOs doing roads, perhaps health and education. But roads purely by the government and government relations with other governments.
Okay.
So you can still say it's the government doing that. But since 2013, because of the conflict, we've seen a lot of challenges, even in government delivering those services. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Agok. A few text messages. Peter in Bentiu, I don't see any impact of the 5% for the state. Which account is this money actually deposited to? And is there monitoring of this allocation? This is a question from Peter in Bentiu. And somebody's asking, Why are positions not being advertised? You did not mention which positions. Maybe positions for in people in the oil sector. Yeah. Why are staff permanent in oil companies? And why are subjects, I mean, why are citizens subject to chronic illnesses as a result of oil operations? You have just talked about that one. Now let us focus on these two other people not benefiting from 5% and this position not being advertised, blah, blah, blah. And of course, why are staff permanent in oil company? I don't understand what he's saying. Staff are not resigning. It's, I mean, staff are not retiring. Let's find out.
Yeah, I think the 5%, 3 and 2% gets transferred once it's in the treasury and in the bank with the instructions of the concerned institutions. It gets remitted through the states. And then from the states have modalities. I spoke about community development committees where the in collaboration with the authorities, the money gets to the committees as per the law. Whether that gets through or not, it's out of my expertise. But evidence is that oftentimes, as I said earlier, there are irregularities. And the audit that was done 2 years ago showed that those irregularities.
All right. You have already spoken actually about that one earlier. Staff in the oil sector?
I don't know about that. But how it works, if you look at the agreement between the oil companies and the government, there are positions that are recruited directly by the companies themselves. Those staff, the turnover is lower. Then there are positions that are allotted
to the ministry.
To the ministry, and not just the ministry, the NILPET. NILPET is the National Oil Company. Why it's done so? It's done with the understanding that at some point, South Sudanese need to step up in manning their oil production and all that. And so before these companies can go, South Sudanese need to be trained so that they are competent in those areas. And so there is a portion, for example, in some of these joint operating companies, NILPET is a portion 5% of employees. And you can see there is a turnover, I think, every 1 year, depending on who comes and politics. There is a turnover there.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. A view more of the message we should be winding up now, Poch. We all know South Sudan is it's producing oil every week, every month. But is it all states of the nation that are benefiting from that oil? I think that was already responded to earlier on. Peter Gatkuoth, Thiran from Bentiu. My question is, here in Bentiu, the government has delayed the incentives for 2 years. Is there any system? But also, again, let us focus on the oil. Apparently, these are all the questions and many others that are actually interrelated. We may not be able to repeat them. And I would advise that you say your last message, Agok. And otherwise, we thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Viola and Jacob. And to our listeners, I want to say South Sudan is a very rich, resourceful nation. And focusing on oil, South Sudan has a lot of potentials. We are talking about 3.7 billion barrels reserves that have not been exploited fully. And so with a proper focus, with a deliberate intention, and of course we are not an island, we can learn from other countries. Norway, that got oil at the same time, discovered oil the same time as South Sudan in the 70s, is a first world country today. Timor-Leste, as a post-conflict country, is now moving away from being a post-conflict country to a first world because of the oil. And we can learn even in Africa, even in Nigeria, even here in Ghana and Uganda. And so in as much as we have these resources, we need to keep in mind that oil is a non-renewable resource. And so we must diversify into, we have a rich soil, we have a fertile soil, we get into agriculture and other sectors, so that by the time we exhaust oil, we are not really affected by the impact of not having oil. And so there is potential, there is hope amidst all these
challenges.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Agok. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for being available. We are so much pleased to have you this evening. And to our dear listeners, thank you so much for being such a very good followers of the program and for your contributions in today's show. Listening to expert insights, one thing becomes, of course, very, very clear to us all. The issue is not simply where the oil comes from or where it goes, but who truly benefits from it. Now, while revenues flow through pipelines into global markets, many citizens still face daily struggles, limited access to healthcare, education, and basic services. And this disconnect actually raises difficult, of course, uncertainties, but necessary questions about accountability and transparency.
All right. The dependence on oil also highlights a fragile reality because exports rely heavily on infrastructure through Sudan, and because global prices are unpredictable, the country's economic stability is constantly at risk. And on behalf of our guest and also my colleague here in the studio, thank you for tuning in and being part of the conversation. Until Monday on Women's Talk, where we turn our focus to women empowerment in Jungule State. Let us find out on the Women's Talk of the Community Conversation. I've been your host, Viola Elias.
Yes, and Moyo Jacob Felix. We wish you a very, very, very good night in the company of Radio Mirai, and goodbye.